And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, we've got so many things going on in the world, and right here at Power of Prophecy, we've got project after project on the drawing boards. We're going to put our books, and we're starting off with our my newest book, Conspiracy World, on e-readers. You know, if you buy books from Amazon, you can buy my books in the future. Now, it might be a few more weeks, but you'll be able to buy my newest books, Mysterious Monuments, Codex Magica, Conspiracy World, through Kindle. Kindle is an e-reader. In other words, it's a nice little handheld, sort of like a computer, but it's much lighter and easier to take around, and you can pack 10 or 12 books in one reader. Download them from the internet, from Amazon.com, and take with you to the beach or on your aircraft when you go on a flight. Or just sitting around at home, you can just hold the reader in your hand, and you don't have to have a book. It'll be a lot of weight off of you, and as I said, you can have a number of books on one reader by downloading them. So we're making it accessible to you through e-reader. So if you have a Nook, I think is the reader, you can buy at Barnes & Noble and then download books from the internet. There's, of course, the iPad from Apple, and then there's the Kindle and the Kindle DX from Amazon.com. That's one project we're working on, and that should make our book, more accessible around the world. Of course, we've been updating our webpage, and Jerry Barrett, my, they call him Webmaster. He's the guy that takes care of our websites. And Jerry's done a very good job in re-engineering, rejiggering our website. And we sent an email out to folks on our email mailing list, and I think about 19 out of 20 said they liked it. We ask you, do you like the new format? Is it more helpful to you? Because, you know, the whole point of us being here, and I'm going to just tell you right up front, so you'll know. A lot of people say, why do you do what you do? Let me explain it to you. It's this way. Number one is we want to serve God. Number two is we want to serve you. You as an individual. We care about you as a person. You, your family, your children, your grandparents, and I guess it can go all the way to the extended family, your neighbors and so forth. No man is an island. You remember the famous movie and book of that name? Actually, it was a little bit of a universalist new age message in that book and movie, but it also a little bit of truth. No man really is an island. And even in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, when God asked Cain where his brother was, he said, how should I know? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, I think the answer is pretty plain. Yes. He was his brother's keeper, but he murdered his brother. So we do care about you here. We want you to live, in fact. We want you to live with prosperity. And I am confident that that's the secret of God, is to have you live more abundantly. And as you know, I am a prosperity preacher because I believe prosperity resides in the human heart. And there's a lot of people that I'm sure have lived in caves and tents and shacks and little log cabins that were very prosperous because they had a prosperous heart and God had blessed them in their prosperity. So maybe my definition of prosperity is a little bit different than the world's, because the world looks at Lexuses and Cadillacs and Mercedes and, you know, sticks and stones and big, beautiful estates and mansions and so forth, possessions. And I have always felt that sometimes those things actually keep you away from happiness, from being contented and joyful. I do. I think they're an impediment to a man. You know, I think a man is a lot happier who actually doesn't have those things. They just get in the way sometime. So, you know, I know some of you are saying, well, I wish I had those kind of impediments in my life. Well, don't wish for things. You may get them. Don't pray for them. You make sure you're ready to handle what God sends your way. So I remember watching a Twilight Zone episode of a man who, I don't know how it happened, but you know, sort of like a genie rubbing a bottle. Well, he was quite a poor guy, but he did something like that. And he was told by some, you know, I don't know what you would call it, some force, came and told him that he had so many wishes and they would come true. Sort of a fairy tale. And of course, it being Twilight Zone, you can imagine what happened to the guy. Every time he wished for something, it turned out for the worse. You know, one time he wished for money and, oh, you know, money just poured in. But the next thing is there was a knock on the door and he opened it up and they said, I'm from the IRS and we understand that you've been evading paying your taxes, that you've got a lot of money hidden here. He says, money, me? And they looked into his house. He had stacks of money and gold. They said, look at that. You haven't even filed it on your tax return. Where'd you get this money? Of course, they notified the police and they came and they didn't believe him. You know, this must be illegal booty, contraband. So he got in trouble for being rich. But finally he said, okay, look, I don't want money. I want power. I want to be dictator. I want to have total, absolute power over a country. One of the strongest countries in the world. I want to be the dictator. Bingo. He got what he wanted. Suddenly he found himself in 1945 Nazi Germany. He was Adolf Hitler. And the Allies, the Russians and the Americans were coming in on him. He was hiding down in the tunnels, you know, in the bunker. And that's where they say, at least, you know, Adolf Hitler committed suicide. He and his girlfriend, and you might call her the squeeze at that time. That's what they call it nowadays, I guess, his squeeze, Eva Braun. And they committed suicide together, supposedly. Of course, there's some doubt about exactly what happened to Adolf Hitler, but that's the historical myth we're told, at least. So he found out he had all that power, all right, but unfortunately it was in 1945 and it was Hitler. So he just sat down and started crying in the bunker as Hitler. So watch out what you wish for. It could come true. Well, we're going to have a great program today because we're going to be talking about secrets. This is a volume of secrets. Once a month, we usually have a volume of secrets. And I look at news and examine things that, well, either have not been reported or they've been lied about or, you know, there's been a propagandistic spin by the control mass media. I want to start, though, with a letter from a nice person. I did a program here, you know, on streaming audio and internet and on radio called Vatican Shame, about the pedophiles in the Vatican and the homosexuals and so forth. I got a letter from a gentleman, and he said, Dear Tex, I think you're unfair to the Catholic Church because there's a lot of homosexuality and pedophilia among Protestants. And the gentleman was correct. But I have exposed homosexuality and pedophilia among the Protestant church, so-called. I've done that before, and I probably will again. I just like to expose these evildoers. I don't care whether they're Protestant or Catholic. But on the other hand, this man came back and tried to justify the Catholic Church being full of homosexuals, and he said, well, you know, Tex, that the Catholic Church does now, as you correctly stated in your Vatican Shame expose, it is true that under the new catechism, the Catholic Church embraces homosexuals. In other words, in the old days, you had to hide the fact that you were a homosexual to become a Catholic priest. It was against the catechism, officially. That doesn't mean it stopped homosexuals. They were everywhere. It just means that they had to sort of hide out and disguise themselves and all that. But Cardinal Ratzinger, that's right, his real name is Ratzinger, the German cardinal who became pope and is now Pope Benedict, the existing pope in Rome. At that time, under Pope John Paul II, the previous pope, who died, as you know, just several years back, Cardinal Ratzinger was head of the doctrine for the propagation of the faith. He was like the doctrinal watchdog for the Catholic Church. That was his job at the Vatican before he became pope. He was this German cardinal from Germany named Ratzinger, and he guarded over the doctrine, and he put out a new doctrinal handbook for the Catholic Church. I have a copy of it. I've read it several times. It's in my library here. I did a whole program, by the way, Hidden Secrets of the New Catechism. Hidden Secrets of the New Catechism. I think you can order that from us. I'm not sure. For $8 on CD or audio tape. But I said, you know, the catechism for the Catholic Church has changed. I noticed one of the changes was that homosexuals can now become Catholic priests. They can go to the seminary in the Catholic Church and say, I want to be a priest. I'm a homo. I'm a homosexual. And they'll accept them. I've been told that at some Catholic seminaries, 80 to 90% of the priest candidates are gay or homosexuals. And even the head of the seminaries are gay men, gay priests. All the teachers there at those seminaries are all queer. They're all homosexuals. It's admitted to by the Catholic Church. It's approved. It's endorsed. And the new catechism put forth by Cardinal Zinger with the approval, the imprimatur, the official imprimatur, meaning the stamp of approval by Pope John Paul II. So that stands as official doctrine. You can be a queer and be a priest. Now, the Catholic Church, to sort of protect itself from a public outcry, and especially from the Catholic faithful around the world, added a little codex to that, a little addendum. They said, but the only thing is, you can be a homosexual, admitted homosexual, and become a priest, but you cannot engage in homosexual acts. A little bit like don't ask, don't tell in the military, you know, the policy. And you just know all those homosexuals that have become priests over the years with this new policy now. You just can imagine they're all celibate and abstaining. Oh, yes. That's why we see all this pedophilia and all this homosexual contact and Catholic priests everywhere living with their lovers, young boys and old alike. Well, but he said to me, there's nothing wrong with being a homosexual if you remain celibate, if you don't have sex with each other as a priest. This man is trying to justify to me why the Catholic Church officially endorses homosexuals. Now, first of all, let me admit the point, the guy's a point in this way. The Methodist Church has made one of its top bishops, an admitted homosexual, a bishop. The Methodist Church, the Presbyterians, the Episcopals, and others, especially a couple of the Lutheran, there's several Lutheran denominations, and they have become more lax now, and you can be a homosexual pervert and be a Lutheran. Not the Wisconsin Synod, which is the more conservative, but the other one, other Lutheran denomination. Now, I wrote back to the man. I was very nice to him, and I said, you know, kind sir, the Bible says that God, because they were homosexual, God turned these men over to a reprobate mind. That's what happens when you're a homosexual and you don't repent. God turns you over to a reprobate mind. Do you know what that means, to be a reprobate? It means you're kicked out, you're excommunicated. You're void of any spiritual worth at all as far as God is concerned. He's turned you over to Satan for punishment. Your mind has become totally warped, totally evil. That's what every homosexual's mind becomes eventually. Reprobate. That's what happens to the effeminate, the homosexuals. They become reprobates. Get your Webster's Dictionary and read the definition, the meaning of the word reprobate. Whoa. So now this guy is telling me, and God doesn't specify, doesn't say, well, you can be a homosexual as long as you don't have sex with other men, or if you're a lesbian with other women, and that's okay. No, it doesn't say that. If you're a homosexual, period, you are a reprobate. Got that out, didn't I? I like that. I like what God says. I always have liked what God says. It's not what the world thinks. It's not what Elena Kagan, the new nominee by President Obama for the Supreme Court, thinks, because she's a flaming lesbian pervert herself. It's not what Sonia Sotomayor, the last lesbian weirdo, a member of the Belizean Women's Club, that's the same as, for women, that's the same as the Bohemian Grove for men. Sonia Sotomayor, the Puerto Rican lesbian, was his first choice Obama had for the Supreme Court. She now sits on the court. And by the way, she just voted against gun rights. The Supreme Court, by 5-4 vote, a very narrow margin, said, yes, the Constitution still lives. And people have the right to keep and bear arms. They can even have a handgun in Chicago and Washington, D.C. Oh, my, what a shockaroo. All the gun control people, I'm sure Obama has nightmares at night thinking about it. Well, Barack, listen to me. If you hate guns so much, just tell the Secret Service that protects you, say, don't carry any more guns. I don't like those. They're so evil. They're so mean and cruel. I don't want any more people to have guns that protect me. See, it's okay to protect the president with guns. I bet Oprah Winfrey has guards with guns. Of course she does. Dianne Feinstein, the senator of California, who's pro-gun control, I bet you she's got a guard running around all the time protecting her with a gun. I remember Rosie O'Donnell bashing Mel Gibson and other gun people. Pro-gun people. Oh, how horrible this is. Then it turned out that she had two bodyguards. Lesbo Rosie O'Donnell has two bodyguards, both of whom are armed. Why don't you practice what she preaches? These savages never practice what they preach. They want you to give up your constitutional rights under the Second Amendment, but meanwhile, they're keeping guns at the ready, and they'll blow your head off if you try to break into their home or whatever, into their car. Oh, yes. They're not peaceniks. They're not humanitarian goody-goodies. They're mean, vindictive, cruel people. And Elena Kagan is against the Second Amendment. The guy that she's replacing, Justice John Paul Stevens, he is against the Second Amendment. He voted against it. By the way, he was put into office by a Republican president. It doesn't matter if Republican or Democrat puts him in office, they're usually liberals on the Supreme Court. And by the way, here's a little, I don't even think this is a secret, but they pretend it is. Most of the Republican Party is in favor of Elena Kagan, lesbo justice for the Supreme Court, and Sonia Sotomayor. Sonia Sotomayor won easily, you know, in the Senate. Many Republicans voted for her. In fact, McConnell from Kansas, the Senate Minority Leader, the head of the Republicans in the Senate, voted for Sonia Sotomayor to sit on the Supreme Court. Lindsey Graham is from South Carolina, the gay Republican senator, limp wrist. He said in the hearings, he's on that judicial committee, some of your answers are very disturbing, Miss Kagan. Oh, shut up. Lindsey Graham is going to vote for her, too. He's a gay. She's a gay. They join hands and go ring around the rosy together, probably, when the cameras are off of them. Oh, my. So anyway, this Catholic gentleman writes me and says, it's okay for a priest to be gay and for the Catholic Catechism to approve gay priests as long as they don't practice their homosexuality. Folks, what you are, you will practice eventually. The devil will make you do it. And if he don't, you got plenty of flesh that's going to do it. Flesh and the devil will see to the job. So let's get this straight. I told him, you want to stay as a member of a church that has for its leadership, its priest, men whom God himself has branded as reprobates. Is that what you're saying, kind sir? Well, I haven't heard back from him yet, but we'll see what he has to say. Meanwhile, I got another letter here from a precious lady. Oh, she's so mad at me. Tex Mars, you're so mean. You're so cruel. You have no love. You've been saying things about Muslims and Jews. Don't you know, she said to me, that the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians all worship the same God? How can you be so cruel as to say what you've been saying about them? You say that Christianity is exclusive, she said. I'm a Christian. I'm not an exclusivist at all. I recognize that we all worship the same God. You should repent, Tex. Judge not. Oh, you're so bad. You're such an evil person to judge the Muslims and the Jews, she said to me. Now, first of all, I wrote the kind lady back and I said, dear ma'am, or miss, or whatever other, you know, title, you've got a problem. You quote the Bible, judge not, but you're judging me. Who gives you the right to judge Tex Mars? Take the beam out of your eye. Yeah. Think about it. Judge not lest ye be judged by the same measure that you judge others. That's what Jesus said. It's okay to exercise righteous judgment. That's what Jesus and the Apostle Paul both said. Exercise righteous judgment. Paul bashed one church because they allowed an adulterer who had committed incest to remain a member of their church. He said, I've already judged that man, and I'm not even a member of your local church. Think about that. I've already judged him. And why haven't you judged him? Don't you know that when you get to heaven, as a Christian, you're going to be judging the angels? Do you know that human beings who become children of the Almighty God someday will even be judging angels? Isn't that amazing? When angels transgress against the law of God, I don't know, there'll be courts or whatever of redeemed, saved human beings up in heaven that's going to judge them. If you can't judge in heaven, the angels, if you can't judge right here on earth, Paul said, how are you going to be able to be judges in heaven? Wow. That puts things in a different light. Jesus says, cast not your pearls before swine. Well, how do you know who the swine are? The pigs. You got to judge people. One man's not a pig. One man is. Judge them. But just do it righteously. Now, this woman was telling me that I couldn't judge other people. But she was judging me and calling me a horrible person without any love in my heart. She doesn't understand the reason that I judge Muslims and Jews is because I do love them. And I want them to have the truth. And if I lie to them, how much love is that? If I say to a Muslim, you can reject Jesus, you can believe in Allah and the Prophet Muhammad, you can reject what Jesus did on the cross, it's okay. God loves you anyway, and I love you too. And he says, oh, good. Tex Mars said, I don't have to repent of that. Tex Mars said, it's not a sin to reject Jesus. Tex Mars loves me. He said, God loves me even if I reject his son Jesus. Oh, I love that Tex Mars and that Christianity. Someday he's going to be staring out from the stars or wherever he's at in hell, from the brimstone, the fire and brimstone, and he's going to say, Tex Mars, why did you tell me? Why didn't you tell me I was going to end up here? Tex Mars, you lied to me. You said I could stay a Muslim. I didn't need Jesus. You lied to me. Now look at my fate. Look at my condition now. Me and all the other millions of Muslims were in hell because you were a silent coward. You kept your mouth shut or you went around telling people it was okay to be a Muslim. We don't need Jesus. What kind of love did you have in your heart for me, Tex Mars? That's what he would be saying. Folks, the Bible says that we are the watchmen on the wall. And if you see the danger and you don't warn others, Their blood is on your hands. Now, this Christian sister says to me, she says, I am a Christian, she claimed, and I worship the same God as the Muslims and the Jews do. So I wrote her back, and I said, you know, sister, you have just damned yourself. Do you realize what you've done? You said, and you put it in writing, you said, I have the same God as the Muslims and the Jews. And then you went on to say, and she did. She said, I love God and they love God equally. Their God, my God. We all worship the same God. Now, folks, this is fashionable today to say that we all worship the same God, whether you're a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Hare Krishna or whatever. It's fashionable, but it's not true. I mean, it was fashionable back in the Mandarin days in China for women to have their feet bound as little girls. And then as the body grew, the feet would stay small and stunted until the women who had their feet bound in this Mandarin high class of Chinese culture, they became crippled and had to be carried everywhere. And that was considered a good thing. I've known women in America here that ruin their legs, ruin their posture, ruin their feet, tore up their Achilles heel. Why? Because they wore these stiletto heel shoes. It was fashionable. It was also idiotic and harmful to their bodies. But they looked so good. What is fashionable is not always what is correct, healthy, or good for you. In fact, it can be damning for you. It can be terrible for you. What is fashionable? Promiscuity is very fashionable. I know one high school is up in New England where I think it was like, 20 or 30 of the young girls in high school all made a pact to get pregnant before they graduated from high school. They were not even married. They said, we've made a pact to go out and have sex with young boys and all get pregnant and become pregnant. It became fashionable among the young girls in that school. This was just last year to get pregnant through promiscuity. Was that a good thing? Well, of course not. Was it idiotic? You better believe it. Was it sinful? Was it disgusting? Yes. Was it dumb? Well, it goes without saying. But here's the whole point, friends. This woman actually believed that she worshiped the same God. So I wrote her back and I said, now Jesus told the Jews, including the top rabbis, he said, you are of your father, the devil. So now you say, dear lady, that you worship the same God as the Jews. Well, listen to Jesus. You worship the devil then. Ooh. By what authority do I judge this woman? By the authority of the word of Jesus Christ. Now, as far as the Muslims go, what do they teach in their Quran, which I have read, have a copy in my library? Their holy book, the Quran, says that Jesus is not the Son of God. But what does the Bible say, the New Testament? Jesus said it. John said it. Peter said it. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am God, you will die in your sins. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. So if you don't have Jesus, you don't have God. It's like those Got Milk commercials. Question is, got the Son? Got Jesus? If you do, you got the Father. Muslims say Jesus did not die for our sins. They say Jesus did not even really die on the cross. It was all faked. It was a hoax. They don't have the Son of God. They don't have the Father either. Who is there for God? Satan. This dear lady, she said, I worship the same God as the Muslims. His name is Allah. You worship the devil. This is Tex Mars. I'll be right back. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, Volume of Secrets. I have a lot more for you. Stay with me, won't you? Tex Mars here again. You know, my book, Conspiracy World, is available. And boy, it is causing a ruckus among people. But I like ruckuses. I like to cause alarm. I like to disturb people. I like to tell the truth. I'm Tex Mars. I suspect you, the listener, are just like me. You're a troubler, too. You make trouble because you love the truth, too. Anyone who loves the truth will be a troublemaker for the world. The establishment hates truth tellers. And conspiracy world is a compendium of truth telling. In fact, the subtitle of the book is A Truth Teller's Compendium of Forbidden Facts. Forbidden for you to know. But you will know them through this book. It's a huge book, and the price of it is only $25. I don't think you're going to see a book this big with pictures and all kinds of documentation in it anywhere for $25. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'd love to expose evil and evildoers. I really do. I know, you know, some people out there that write exposés. Oh, I'm so sorry. I just had to write it. Oh, I regret that I had to write this book. I don't regret writing my books. Codex Magica, Mysterious Monuments, Circle of Intrigue, Dark Secrets of the New Age. I had fun writing them. I enjoyed every minute. That's right. Every newsletter I've ever written, and they come out once a month, and when you order one of our books, we give you a free subscription to our newsletter, Power of Prophecy. You can get it free also, by the way. Just go onto the internet, and there's a little box there that says, would you like to get it free? We'll send it to you every month. Free. Now, I've never written a Power of Prophecy article that I regretted. Never have. Oh, every once in a while, person will write to me and say, you know, this little fact is wrong, or that date is wrong, or you misspell somebody's name wrong. Oh, yeah, I'm subject to human error like that. But even those things are very, very rare. Very, very rare. Maybe it's because I write my own articles. I write my own books. A lot of people say, Tex, who writes the script for your videos? Well, I write the script for my videos. In fact, I don't even have a script. People look at me like I'm crazy. Well, you had to have had a script. And this video is, you know, like Rothschild's Choice, the hidden cabal behind Barack Obama and the plot to murder America. They say, you couldn't have just talked for 90 minutes with all those facts. Well, I did. That's the gift God has given me. That's the talent he's given me. I've told you before, there's a lot of things I can't do in this world. So I guess God felt sorry for me, and he gave me these other talents. I'm pretty good at them. There's things I can't do. I can't fix cars. If it starts rattling, the motor starts shimmying, and the oil light comes on, I better get it to a garage real fast. I don't know what's going on with that car. But when something's going wrong in the world, and there's a breakdown in the world, God gives me insight into that. I know what's happening. I know what happened in the BP oil derrick, Deepwater Horizon. I know exactly what happened. In fact, my next newsletter, I'm going to explain to you what really happened. And it was engineered. It was an engineered crisis. There was an explosion. It was an accident. It was not an accident. You say, Tex, that's impossible. You mean there was a conspiracy to blow up the Deepwater Horizon, kill those men, and flood the Gulf of Mexico and even perhaps the Atlantic Ocean, all the coastal lands of America with gooey black tar oil? Yes, there was a conspiracy. And it worked. And people have no idea of what really happened to them. We're going to be talking about that next month. I'm going to expose the fact. I'm going to show how Rothschild was involved. That's an amazing thing. Israel was involved. China was involved. Wow. China? They had something to do with the BP oil crisis? Oh, yes. Israel? Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised when you read my newsletter. God has given me an understanding of these things, and he tells me where to research, and then at the last moment, often people send me stuff. I don't even go out and get a lot of stuff. People send it to me. And it's things that I could not possibly go out and research on my own. And these are people from all over the world, from Portugal, from Spain, from Russia, from Uzbekistan, from Armenia, Turkey. I have friends all over the world, and they send me things. Send me information. They send me rare books. They send me articles. They say, Tex, would you like to know some secrets about Putin and Russia? Here goes. Ooh. Well, how does that man know he's writing me? Well, just so happens that he was one of the top operatives in the KGB. He wants me to know the truth about Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, and his cohort there, Medvedev. Ooh. And Netanyahu, the fact that he's a Freemason and he was made a part of the Masonic Order when he was going to college, to university here in the United States of America. And now he's a member of the Grand Lodge of Jerusalem, Benjamin Netanyahu. A monster of a man, by the way. People write to me. Not too long ago, a gentleman, and I was just amazed, told me about Rahm Emanuel during the first Persian Gulf War. Rahm Emanuel went from the United States over to Israel and joined the Israeli Defense Forces as an Israeli citizen. I'm Rahm Emanuel, who is now the White House Chief of Staff. But my source gave me the truth about it. He was a member of the Mossad Intelligence Unit in the IDF, working, coordinating the war. A lot of things were going on there. Did you know that Rahm Emanuel was also the one who set up Abu Ghraib prison, working with the Israeli Mossad? Rahm Emanuel came back to the United States, became a congressman, and he worked with the George Bush administration so that the Mossad intelligence could set up all of those torture centers run by the American CIA and U.S. military. They're all over the world now. The Israeli Mossad has trained the CIA, and they work together in torturing people all over the world that have this rendition, this abduction. Rahm Emanuel is one of the overseers of these gulag concentration camps around the world run by America, the Mossad, and the CIA. Even Brigadier General Janusz Korpinski, who was the commandant, you might say, the commander of the army forces, that they didn't let her really know what was going on very much with all the torture and everything at Abu Ghraib, although she was the commanding officer. But she says she was astonished to see all of the Israeli Mossad agents at Abu Ghraib prison. But I already knew that. I knew who was doing the torturing. I know who's been getting all the Iraqi oil. Iraq is the world's second largest oil producer after Saudi Arabia. And we control Iraq because we invaded and took over the country. And now, after what? It's been, 9 years since we control Iraq? Put Saddam Hussein to death? The legitimate leader of that country, he was voted in. He wasn't just a dictator. He was a democratically elected dictator, Saddam Hussein. And we invaded him on a false pretext, and then we gave him over to the monsters there, and they took him out and hung him. You say, well, he was a monster too. I don't feel sorry for him. Well, okay. Monstrosities beget monstrosities, my friend. One monster kills another, and so the cycle of evil continues, the revolution of evil. I want you to order Conspiracy World, and here's how to get it. It's a book like none other that you've ever read. It's $25, add $5 shipping and handling. By the way, it'll tell you what really happened to the Washington, D.C. intern. What was her name, Jerry? Thank you. Chandra Levy. And the meaning of her name, by the way. Names sometimes have a powerful meaning. Chandra Levy had a very interesting meaning to her name. And Chandra Levy was killed by, well, read my book. You'll find out what really happened there with the California congressman and so forth. Who really killed Chandra Levy? There's all kind of little tidbits in there, intelligence stuff in this book, Conspiracy World by Tex Mars. Now, again, $30 postpaid, and we'll get the book right out to you. Call us toll-free and order the book, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or just texmars.com, TexMarrs. You'll want to read about our newest discoveries. Just put up, wouldn't it, Jerry? Well, actually, this last week by you on the web. Our feature article, though, is all about the double mind. The double mind, the actual Illuminati doctrine of the double mind and how it works. And you're going to see some illustrations, some color pictures of double mind symbols that are all over the world. You'll be shocked at some of these double mind symbols. The double mind is the implantation of the double mind is actually the satanic matrix that controls all of society and especially American politics, culture, and economy. Now again, powerofprophecy.com to order the book Conspiracy World. You can call us toll free 1-800-234-9673 or send $30 with a little note, say text, send me Conspiracy World and we'll get it right out to you. We work very hard here. We don't let orders just sit around here. We don't sit, but we don't have a water cooler, so we don't sit around it or stand around it gossiping and all that stuff. We work hard. And when we get orders out, the very next day, we open up all the envelopes that we get in and we process them and they're gone. I mean, that's what we do here. Now, you know, so it takes a little bit longer for the mail service. I'm sorry about that. They did their job the way we did our job. Things would be, everybody would get their stuff a lot quicker. And, you know, I'm so tired of these people that say, allow 3 to 6 weeks for delivery. No, 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 no. When I order something, I want it right away. And that's the way I treat people. We give them express service without charging it. We give them like 48-hour service when we get their orders here. That's what we promise you. Now, if it's over the weekend, well, we don't work on the weekend, but the next Monday, whammo, we're going to get it out. That's what we do here. We're here to serve you. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here to play around. We're here because we do things in a serious manner or vein. When you order something, you know what? You're our friend. We're not going to treat you like you're just some throwaway person. No, 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 no. You're important to us. You are king at Power Prophecy. And there's only one king greater than you. And he's in heaven. Well, we can't replace him. I'm not even going to try. But you're like a sub-king, okay? You don't mind me calling you a sub-king, do you? You know, I was at a prophecy conference. No, not a prophecy conference. The Conspiracy Con. Conspiracy Convention. They have it every year, and for the 10th anniversary of it, they invited me this year. I was one of the speakers, principal speakers. And I had a Christian guy there, and they were asking me, I don't know how it came up, but they wanted to know what reward I thought I was going to get in heaven for doing what I was doing about exposing conspiracies. What reward I was going to get in heaven? So I laughed, and I pointed to this other fellow. He was a Christian speaker, too. And I said, well, here's probably what's going to happen. He's going to get him a big mansion up in heaven, great big estate with a lot of land. And I'd be pleased if he would just give me a little piece of his land up in heaven. So I can just put a shack on it. That'll be okay with me. Just give me a little piece of his land up in heaven. He can live in the mansion. Just let me make it. And I'll just live in that little piece of land. Well, I suspect, Jerry, that a lot of people out there will have big mansions in heaven. Actually, Jesus said that. He's preparing them. He's a pretty good builder. I mean, talk about the king of construction. That's Jesus Christ. He said it. He's preparing mansions in heaven. It's not condos. It's not rooms. It's not lowly little houses. It's mansions. I don't know what that means, to be honest with you. But I think I know what the word mansion implies. But if God is my witness right now, I don't care if I get a mansion. I mean, just get me up there, a tent. I'll be happy with a tent or something. Oh, my. Let's return to our regular program now. Of course, our address is something you'll need to order the book. If you order that from us or want to write us, if you want to write me a hot, blistering letter telling me I'm such a mean, mean man because I say that Jesus Christ is the only way, I will listen to your letter. I will read it. I will not agree with it, but I will read it, and I'll still love you. I'm not mad at any of these writers that write me these things. They may think I am. I'm not angry at them. No. I'm not here to be angry at anybody. I'm just here to tell the truth. Okay. Our address, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, we're talking today about some secrets. Recently read a statistic quite interesting. The EIA, the International Energy Administration, says that the whole world's oil refining capacity is 66%. That means one-third of our oil-producing capacity, refining that is sitting idle. In other words, you know, there's plenty of oil out there. We're awash in petroleum. You'll have to get my CD expose called Planet Petroleum to find out the truth of that. Even with the Gulf of Mexico being shut down And this moratorium, which of course has been overruled by a judge, Obama's moratorium, even if there is no oil coming out of the Gulf of Mexico in the future, there will still be so much oil around the world that, well, it'll be much more than we will ever need. There's all kinds of oil being produced constantly underground in a process called abiotic oil manufacture. The earth manufactures its own oil and constantly is doing so. We'll never run out of oil. I prove that. But one third of all the refineries in the world are sitting vacant. But the price of oil will not go down. Why? They're controlling it. They control the price. I just wanted you to know that little tidbit. Hey, here's somebody that wrote to me, William from Pennsylvania. He says, do you have a policy about the reuse of your newsletter articles on the internet or in publications? Would it be okay if we reproduced your articles text listing you as author? Absolutely, William. No problem at all. In fact, let me say right now, anything in our newsletters, you can reprint. Now, I don't want you to sell them. You know, I don't want you to take all my articles together and put them into one book and sell them as a commercial project. But if you want to quote me, oh yes. If you want to take a whole newsletter article that I've done and send it out over the internet, you can put it on your website. You can reproduce it. Nobody is going to come knock on your door and say you've been a bad, bad boy. No. We won't. Listen, our job is to get the truth out. Some people write to me and say, Tex, I love what you say on page 462 of your book, blah, blah, blah. Can I quote that on my website? Absolutely. Do you need permission from me? No, just go do it. It would be nice and kind, and it's the thing to do, to put me as the author down. Say, Tex Moore said in his book such and such. Then you just quote away. Two or three paragraphs, yeah, that's okay. Now, don't take the whole book and reprint it and go out and sell it. That wouldn't be fair. But you know what I'm saying. No, we're glad to. Hey, here's Bashir wrote to me. He's a nice Muslim man. He said, please, Brother Tex, stop this Islam and Muslim bashing. I love Tex dearly despite his shortcomings. But as soon as he starts ranting about his Jesus God, he goes crazy. Bashir, this Muslim, writes me that. It is sad that Brother Tex would resort to outright lies about Islam. Well, I don't resort to outright lies. Now, that's not true. He goes on to say that actually, Islam does accept Jesus as Christ. In our Quran, we call him the Messiah. That's the Messiah. He is revered as the son of Mary by Islam, but not as the son of God. We believe in Islam that is blasphemy. Bashir, therein lies the problem. I was explaining about the precious lady before that said that the Muslims and the Christians worship the same God. Not so. Our God is Jesus Christ. Islam says he's not the son of God. In fact, Islam actually says that is blasphemy. See the difference? What I say is true, you, Bashir, say is blasphemy. And, you know, Bashir, let me tell you something. I'm going to keep ranting about Jesus Christ. I like ranting about Jesus Christ. But anyway, he goes on to say some other things, and I like what he says. And there's a lot of things that Bashir says to me that are true, and I appreciate that, you know. He goes on to say Jews and Christians and Muslims are people of the same divine book. No, we're not. We have the New Testament, okay? Now, it may be that you, as a Muslim, believe in the Old Testament, although I understand there's some differences you have with it. The Jews say they believe in the Old Testament, and we believe as Christians in the Old Testament. But hold on. We have the New Covenant, Jesus Christ. We have the New Testament. And the Muslims say, no, that's not a true book. The Jews say, oh, I hate that book, the New Testament. Looks like we don't have the same divine book then, Bashir. And that's just the way it is. And by the way, a lot of people say, if you had your way in America, would you make it a crime to teach the Islamic religion? No. Isn't it interesting? There's nothing in the New Testament that says, go out and make it a criminal act to preach other religions. Nothing. Even Jesus didn't try to shut down all the false religions. But hold on. He told the truth. And he said that these works of the devil are destructive. and he came to set the captives free. And someday all will bow their knees to Jesus Christ. That's what it says in the Bible, our New Testament. Well, here's some news that came out. It seems that Ted Kennedy's secret FBI Chappaquiddick file, you know, the young lady that died a horrible death of drowning in Ted Kennedy's car there on Chappaquiddick Island. Well, the FBI, it came time for them to release all the files after so many years. But it seems that the Kennedy family has gone to the FBI and the Congress and said, we don't want the information released. Why not? Why not? Think about it. I think I know. Don't you? Oh, yes. I know why the Kennedy family, even after Ted Kennedy is now dead, would like to keep that bottled up. Okay, let's see what we got here. Oh, yes, here's something. According to the British Library is going to put online the full text of the Codex Sinaiticus. Now, this is the so-called oldest surviving copy of the New Testament, a 4th century version. And they're going to make it online for everybody. So you can read it, and it's in Greek, of course, if you can study that form of Greek, not today's modern Greek, but the old ancient Greek. You can read the Codex Sinaiticus. And by the way, remember, this was something that supposedly was written in the 4th century. This is not the real New Testament. This is the one where all the false versions came from. It's a piece of junk. A lot of things are missing. The British Library now has put it online. Hey, Laura Bush has been on the news. She's got a new book out. She's been, you know, really promoting it on, I think Katie Couric interviewed her, and she's been everywhere being interviewed. And she's telling the truth now, what she really believes, things that she hid while she was the first lady, Laura Bush. Let me just read it to you so you'll get the gist of it. This is from the Vancouver Sun newspaper. It says Laura Bush has admitted in her new book that she has secretly supported gay marriage and abortion rights. And she did so during her husband's 8 years as president. Now, friends, did I not tell you that? To the world, this is news. They go, oh, Laura Bush, oh, our great, you know, demigoddess. Oh, my goodness, she actually supported abortion rights all these years. And she was for gay marriage. Oh, no. But I've been telling you that for years, friends. I knew that. My sources told me. I've reported it. She said in a TV interview that she and George really never argued much about these things. Well, of course not. Because secretly, he was a closet gay. No wonder they didn't argue about it. Oh, my goodness. She goes on to say, and this is so sweet, when couples are committed to each other, gay couples, and love each other, they ought to have the same sort of rights that everyone else has. Huh? Oh, my. In her memoir, Spoken from the Heart, she said she asked George, her husband, to not make gay marriage a significant issue. Well, he never did. Remember that? He never did diddly squat on these kinds of issues. Did you know George Bush, 8 years as president, he never asked the American people or the Congress to void abortion. Never asked anybody. So it's no surprise that Laura Bush turns out to be an abortionist and a homosexual gay rights supporter, gay marriage even. No, doesn't surprise me at all. Well, let's see what else we got here. Newsweek says that, well, they've got a big picture of Saint Sarah, that's Sarah Palin, made her into a saint. She's got a halo around her head, got her hands in sort of a nice praying position. But I noticed something. This is a June 21, 2010 issue of Newsweek. Saint Sarah, what Palin's appeal to conservative Christian women says about feminism, the future of the religious right. That's the name of the article. She's on the front cover of Newsweek once again, as a saint this time. And I noticed on her lapel, she's wearing two flags connected together. by their little poles, the Israeli flag and the U.S. flag. That makes me sick. What if she wore the Palestinian flag? What if she wore the Venezuelan flag along with the U.S. flag? What if she wore the Canadian or the Mexican flag? I think this is baloney. She's either an American or she's not. She ought to be ashamed of herself. Sarah Palin, the saint. She's a Zionist saint, maybe, but she's no saint in my book, I'll tell you that much. Hey, guess what? The president of Russia, Medvedev, he's sort of the president while his buddy Putin is in the back closet hiding. He'll come out eventually, though. But Medvedev, according to the Drudge Report, sees an opportunity for a new world order and has even come out with a sample coin of a new world currency. It's a gold coin. They're going on the gold standard. Now, a lot of people have been asking me about gold. Don't you think we ought to get off of this paper money, this fiat paper money of the Fed Reserve notes and go to a gold standard? That's what Ron Paul wants. Yeah, and that's what all the Illuminati want. Don't you understand that? They love gold. It just came out, according to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, that two huge banks, just two banks, control the world price of gold. Wow. One of them is a Chinese bank, HSBC. The other is JP Morgan Chase. Both of these banks are Rothschild-owned banks. And they want a gold standard. In fact, the price of gold has basically become the new currency. Talk to Wall Street. They'll tell you about that. They're not against it. By the way, would you like to know what the words say on the sample coin? You know, in America, we have a lot of these coins. They say, "In God we trust." These say, "Unity in diversity." Unity in diversity. That's what's stamped on the coin, the sample coin of the New World Order being promoted by the Soviet leader. I still call it Soviet Union because that's really what it is. Russian leader Medvedev. I've got a picture of it here. I'm going to put it online for you so you'll be able to see it. It's a new reserve currency. It's gold. Gold, the new currency of the world and of the new world order. They love gold. And they call it on the $1, it's a gold coin of the new world currency, unity and diversity. Hey, that's what all these false religions say. We're all unified. We have unity and diversity. The Bible says there is unity in one only, not diversity. I'm not a multiculturalist. I believe in America. I put America first. I put Texas second. How about that? Yeah, I'm a Texan and an American, and I'm proud of it. I'm not for unity and diversity. I'm for unity and the truth. But, oh, well, that's just me. But I suspect it's a lot of you too, friends. I'd like to hear from you on that. Do you believe in unity and diversity? That's what's on the New World Order gold coin being promoted by Russia. And the International Monetary Fund says we have to have a new currency. And they're meeting now at the International Bank of Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. And they're going to say we need a new currency, world currency. And, of course, they want to start with the euro being promoted in America as the Amero. We're going to have our own version of the euro, that is. Mm-hmm. Gold, it's not a panacea, friends. The devil loves gold. I suspect that will be the new gold standard of the new world order. Ron Paul, you'll probably get your way. I don't think you know what you're asking for, friends. Remember, I started in this program, what you wish for, you may get. Gold, yep, the devil loves it. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's been great to be with you today. And my prayer, as your friend and your servant, is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.